Okay. Move on to agenda item number six. Report and possible discussion on the legislative update by Matt Phillips, Government and Customer Relations Manager.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members. I'll be brief on this one. I'm just going to give you a very quick legislative update. As you guys know, this is the time when the legislature's interim committees are meeting, discussing issues that might be looked at next session. I'm not going to focus on all the different committees. I'm just going to focus on House Natural Resources and Senate Ag and Water, which are the two that we watch the closest. Instead of going through each individual interim charge, I'm just going to give you an idea of some of the common themes that both committees are looking at during the interim. State water plan. We've got a state water planning process that's about 20 years old at this point. And so the legislature's starting to kind of do a review of it to look at, is it still working? Is it still doing what it's supposed to do? They're looking at, do we still need to do five-year regional water plan updates or 10-year? And so that's a question that they're taking a look into. I don't believe that's something they're going to change, but it's something they're at least asking. How are the regions implementing their regional water plans? Are their projects actually being implemented on the ground? And in a lot of cases, the answer is no, because a lot of the projects are so long term. But there are some projects that are being implemented or that are at least being started. Allen's Creek would be an example in our basin that we're at least starting on. House Bill 4 integration. How is the funding that the legislature approved being implemented into the water planning process? Are entities applying for it? Are they getting it? And the answer to that is yes. And then how is the prioritization of projects within the plan going as part of that process? And then consistency across regional water planning groups. Do all the regional water planning groups hold open meetings? Do they all meet similar increments, all that kind of thing? And the answer is usually no. They all kind of do it differently. And so does the legislature need to force some sort of consistency among the regional water planning groups? And then how the plan integrates with groundwater planning and groundwater management areas. On groundwater, it's an issue they look at every session, but the issue of ownership, what's the proper role of groundwater conservation districts since groundwater is privately owned? How much can they regulate it? How much should they regulate it? And should that change? How can you move groundwater? How can you transfer it out of a district? Are some groundwater district rules too restrictive so that we won't be able to move water if we need to? And do there need to be changes to statute for that? The difference in permitting from district to district, does there need to be some sort of consistency set in state law that districts all have to permit a certain way because they all do tend to do it a little bit differently? Joint planning, again, that gets back to the regional water planning group, but also how various groundwater districts plan across aquifer lines, since many of them are drawn on political boundary or county lines, how they plan together in one aquifer. And then legal cases that happen in between sessions. Obviously, groundwater law is mainly written in the courts. And so does the legislature need to make any changes to statute based on recent groundwater cases? And then surface water, transport's also an issue there. How can you make interbasin transfers easier and less restrictive? Eventually, we're going to have to move water throughout the state. And so how's that going to be possible? Obviously, that develops into an East Texas, West Texas, rural Texas versus urban Texas fight pretty quickly. Permitting, it's obviously something we've got a lot of experience with our system operations permit. Does the process take too long? How can it be streamlined? And what are the issues considered in the permitting process? And then also, do the water availability models for each individual basin need to be updated to incorporate the most recent drought? How do we do that? And more importantly, how does that get paid for? And that is it. Happy to answer any questions. Yes, sir.
Ever been any discussion or gossip about taking over control of the groundwater districts, or do you still see them as being independent?
I think it's always hit or miss. I think there are some that feel that the groundwater regulation process should be more state or regional level oriented as opposed to down in each individual political subdivision district. So you're always going to have that camp. I think you have a lot of groundwater marketers that would like to see that happen so that they can access groundwater easier. But do I think the legislature is going to unravel the ownership of groundwater anytime soon? No. I really highly doubt it. I think that it'll always be discussed during interim committees and things like that, but I don't think they're ever going to change it. They may pull back some of the power that groundwater districts have to regulate transport and things like that, but I don't think they're going to get rid of them anytime soon.
Do you have some specific water issues that that the BRA is lobbying on or that we're working on that are there were a lot in here, but I'm just thinking, do you have three or four or two or three that are really of interest that we need to be watching?
Probably the biggest one that we have the most experience with is water rights permitting. Obviously, we're a poster child for how that process can take an exorbitant amount of time. Mm-hmm. And so any input that we've given is, you know, the idea that that process needs to be streamlined, both for applicants and those that want to protest permits, so that you have a defined idea of how long it will take you to get a permit. You know, you can have all the money in the world to fund state water plan projects, but if you can't permit those projects, it really doesn't matter. The rub there is that in order to make permitting faster, TCEQ is going to need more staff. And in order to have more staff, they're going to need more money. The legislature is very unlikely to give them general revenue. So that means they're going to have to increase their fees. And so while some entities like us might be willing to pay higher fees for the regulatory certainty that comes with streamlined permits, mm-hmm. other entities don't want to. So I think that's where the debate will always be there. But that's probably the biggest one that we pay the most attention to. Yes, sir.
Matt, how much of the groundwater is covered by groundwater conservation districts?
It's a question I don't know the exact answer to.
It's
obviously, I think there are somewhere around, I think there's 60 to 100 districts total. I think something like that. There's a big, I don't know exactly. I can find out and send it to you. It's obviously not the entirety of the state.
Right.
There are a lot of single county districts, some multi county districts. So we can access that map through the Water Development Board and send it to you. Yes, sir.
Do you foresee, you were talking about transporting of surface water, do you foresee a time when there will be pipelines or canals, like in California, you know, built to transport water from areas that have it to areas of our state that don't?
There was some discussion during the last session of the construction of the eventual building of a water grid, you know, a network of pipelines mm-hmm. that would move water from places where it is to places where it's not. What I would tell you is under the current law related to interbasin transfers, it's next to impossible to be able to transport water just because of what you have to do in order to permit that water and how junior that water right becomes whenever you move it from its basin of origin to another basin. So it almost makes, I wouldn't want to say that it makes the water you move worthless, but it makes it so junior that it becomes so much less reliable. So under the current system, no. Should they ever change interbasin transfer rules or the law, which would be a monumental fight, and it's one they'll likely have to have at some point, then yes, you could see that happening a lot.
I can see that quicker. Happening at some point.
It probably will have to. Will it be in our lifetime? It's kind of the same thing of will they ever unravel the groundwater ownership issue? Probably eventually. I don't know that we'll see it, but it'll have to happen at some point.
Thank you.
Any other questions?